Hi, I'm Lee. Thank you so much for being here today. We're talking about Jesus, our first love. Let's acknowledge him. Jesus, we thank you for showing us truth, for confronting us, telling us things to come, showing us ourselves. We love you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. So yesterday we talked about our first love. I'm going to read Revelation 2. 4-5 to you again. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. And so we were talking about how we put things first. Jesus was showing me what I got excited about instead of being excited about him. We talked about those things in our life that we just look forward to more than we look forward to Jesus. He's left behind. His everything is us. And yet we're just like walking by him throughout our day, not thinking about him, but saying, oh yes, we love him, but still we don't do his commands. And he said, if you love me, you're going to do what I say. And the things that he's telling us to do are for our good, to prosper us, to bring good to him, to have an exciting, full life. So why do we walk by it? Why isn't he our first love anymore? Because notice, our first love, you used to be excited about him. It used to be that he was the thing that got you out of bed in the morning, and now it's not. You've resorted to other things. You've gone backwards. And so Jesus wants to show us the reason that we've done that. And the thing is the bottom line is we feel disappointed. And, well, maybe that's not the very bottom line, but we're disappointed because the things that we thought were going to happen, his promises didn't happen in our life. And you could say then, were you seeking his hand or his face, right? If we're going to be honest with ourselves, then we want to be corrected. We want Jesus to show us the truth. And when he shows me the truth and I feel horrible, he always reminds me, you said you want to know the truth. So if you want to know the truth, keep listening. If you don't, then I guess you can go. But the truth is really the thing that sets you free. And the truth is really what is going to get you closer to Jesus, to be his witness, and to have his power in your life. And so the disappointment sets in. And I was asking Jesus about myself. And he said, you became disappointed. The promises that I gave you didn't come to pass. You let other people's opinion dictate to you. You didn't do what I told you to do, which is the bottom line. Our disobedience gets us to the place of disappointment. We're disappointed because what he said didn't happen, but what he said didn't happen because we didn't obey him. And in my life, I let rejection get in my way. What other people thought of me, like, not consciously, but you know, we have an enemy. Well, if they don't think that you can do it, if they don't value you, then why should you? And then we start turning away from what Jesus called us to do, what he said to do. And many of us aren't walking in our calling because we're not obedient. And if we're not obedient, then we don't show it as a true witness. We don't have his power in our life. We don't have his anointing. And so we're living the same. And I was thinking, you know, too, you know, just doing the bare minimum of being Christ-like, knowing the word, and, you know, almost like being a hypocrite because you're saying, you know, God's going to do all these things, and yet we're not really believing God. We're just making it happen ourselves, or we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and really we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us to obey him. And so without that power in our lives, we just don't look good. We don't look good. When we don't have the manifestation of his power in our lives, we don't look good. We don't feel good. Because when you're not obeying Jesus, you don't feel good. You don't get up every morning and you're not excited about him anymore. You start finding other things to fill that void. Like, you know, stuff, food, something you love to do. And you're walking by Jesus and he's saying, hey, wait a minute. I gave you this assignment. And if you would do it, you wouldn't be going there. You wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't have that problem and this problem. You wouldn't be depressed. And yesterday we talked about how we have to have our flesh under control, because otherwise, if we're not following him, we're following our flesh. And if we're following our flesh, then it's our God. And so, not realizing it, but sort of, you know, here and there, you know, knowing that I need to do this anyway, hearing God correct me, I say, I know, okay, I'm going to do that. But then in real life, you know, when somebody's in your face, you know, saying you can't do this, when the enemy comes on so strong with that pressure, trying to convince you that you can't do it, that you're not called, you're not good enough, you just kind of sit back and you don't do it. And he's coming. And he's asking us to be that witness, to go for him. And he's really asking us, the insignificant person that you think that you are. You didn't go to school. Maybe you're just a fisherman, right? But he's saying, yes, I'm calling you. And when you do his instruction, then his power is going to be in your life. Those things that he said that were going to happen are going to happen. You are going to lay hands on the sick. You are going to cast out demons. You are going to come through situations that nobody else will. He is going to tell you things to come. And when we're half-hearted about it, we only have a little bit of a taste of this. We don't have enough. We don't have enough to make a difference. We don't look good to the world, and we really do make Jesus look bad. You know, to have him in our lives and his power to back up his very being living on the inside of us, to have his power in our lives is what makes all the difference. And without it, we prove we're not his first love. Because he said, you're going to do what I was doing. If you believe, if you love me, you'll obey me. And we're not obeying him because of what someone else thinks or whatever your reason is, because you're not getting enough out of it, because, you know, this, that, and the other thing, whatever your reason is, and you're calling yourself a Christian, yet you're not obeying him. You don't have his power in your life, and not having his power in your life brings disappointment. So discouragement brings disappointment. Having no power in your life is really not being that witness for him. And then others seeing that, and especially Jesus being left behind. So why follow him? partially, when we can have all of what he promises. And we can make him proud of us instead of, you know, him having to be disappointed that we didn't believe him, that we believe someone else's opinion over his opinion, over what he said. To have understanding is so important. To know that you're living by someone else's opinion, to know why maybe Jesus asks you to give something up. When I think back, when I was listening to the prosperity message and thought it was so exciting, and God said, give away your sewing machine. And I gave it away thinking I was going to get a better one. I had two machines and I gave both of them away. And each time I gave one away, I got a worse one back. And finally, I caught on to what he was saying, as he wanted me to do something with eternal value. And so he was calling me at that time to write a book, to go for him, to do what I'm doing now, and instead of sewing. And I loved to sew. And so when I realized what he was asking me to do, I gave it up. But you have to have the understanding. Otherwise, it seems like he's taking something away from you. And a lot of people stop following him because of that, because they misunderstand. Why is he asking me to give this up? Like the rich young ruler. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, then give all your stuff away and follow me. Do what I'm doing. And he didn't want to do that. And so he missed eternal life. Jesus asked me, will you go for me? I said, yes. And then he started directing me. And so I had an understanding. And you have to keep asking him. You have to keep asking him, why are you asking me to do this? Give me understanding. And even if you don't understand, you have to know that he's doing what he's doing for your good. Working for him is the most fulfilling life that you can have, because that's what you're created to do, to be his witness, to give your life away for someone else's, for someone else's life, so they can have everlasting life. And that's what he's asking me to do. That's what he's asking you to do. Give away your life. Do something. Do that thing that has eternal value. Be that witness for him. Instead of doing what you're doing, which is short-lived, which is really silly compared to people going to hell, if you look at it that way, which is the way we should be looking at it, then of course we're going to give up our life and go for him. But it's the things that come to stop us that are often the very thing as to why we quit and we give up. That voice in our head, the enemy saying, you can't. Maybe people that have known you all your life saying, you can't do that. There's no way. I know you. You're not capable of that. And you listen to that and you just back off and you don't do it. And today Jesus is saying, do it. Just do it. You'll never be disappointed if you trust me. And be aware of the fact that you might be stepping back. You might have let someone get to you. And so you go back to square one. Don't do that. Block that voice out. Block out those things that are telling you you can't. Those are the enemy. Those voices are the enemy. Even bringing up your past, what someone said to you. He's just constant if you don't stop him. If you don't block him, he's just constantly telling you how bad you are and how you can't do that and you're not good enough. And if you do that, then, you know, this isn't going to work and so-and-so is going to hate you. And you know what? It doesn't matter. The consequences are going to be for your good and for eternal value for many. Maybe some won't turn towards Jesus, but we can't be living by what someone thinks. We're not a true witness then. We have to care only what Jesus thinks of us and no one else. If we're thinking what someone else thinks of us, we're going to fail. Because they don't see us. They don't empower us. They don't live on the inside of us. They didn't call us to do what Jesus did. What he's calling you to do, he'll empower you to do. But you got to get out on the water and just do it. Just do what he said. One step at a time. Don't be afraid. Another thing, I was attacked with this fear. Well, what if you do it wrong? Well, what if I do it wrong? Then I do it wrong and I'll have to get it right the next time. You know, every time we fail, the enemy's going to come and say, well, first, he's the one who tries to get you to fail. And then he comes and condemns you for it. And so wherever you're at now, God doesn't hold against you. But Jesus is saying, what caused you to walk away from your first love? You were all excited when you were born again and you knew what you're supposed to do. And you're all excited. And what caused you to just quit? Really? You're saying, oh, I didn't quit. I still love Jesus. But obviously I was mistaken and I shouldn't do this because nobody approves of it. Because of this, because of that. And so then we just let it go. And we don't do it. And many times we don't realize even what we're doing. So we have to get that constant counsel from Jesus. Stop walking by him, but stop. Get on your knees. Get down there. Come to him. Sit at his feet and say, where am I at? What is stopping me? I want you to be my first love again. Can we pray that? Let's pray. Jesus, we repent of walking by you, of putting things before you, having other gods before you and not trusting you, not spending enough time with you that we can just throw that pressure off that the enemy's trying to put on us. We repent, Lord. Help us to come back to where we used to be. Give us that assignment again. And help us walk us through it. We love you, Jesus. We love you. And we're going to prove that love by pleasing you and not someone else. Making you proud of us, not trying to get the acceptance of other people. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Make a commitment to that prayer that you just prayed with me. If you prayed it, if you meant it, make a commitment to Jesus. Do what he told you to do. It might be something as simple as unforgiveness. Going and seeing someone. Starting a music ministry. You know, so much of the time we get hurt by the church. And we leave, and we also leave behind our gift. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you, don't leave your gift behind. Pick it up, take it with you, and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Luke 10, that's what Jesus said to do. He was told to leave church as well. And many of us have been, and we get depressed and gloomy. And Jesus is saying, get up, pick up your mat, and go. Encourage each other. Stop criticizing each other and putting each other down. We know the bottom line is it's the enemy. And many Christians let the enemy use them and say things that are not nice and treat people as if they don't know Jesus, and obviously they don't, if they're doing mean things. You know, we're supposed to be adults, and still many are acting like children, bullying others. And that is of the devil. And if that's you, you need to stop. And if someone's doing that to you, get away from them. Come out from among them and do what God said. Don't do what they're saying about you. Don't be who they say you are, but be who Jesus says that you are. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening today. And I just want to say, you are beautiful. You were created in His likeness. And you can do what He called you to do.